Guide and lead us closer to you today, Jesus. We thank you for being here. Remove all of us, all the human issues and factors today, and instead allow your Spirit and you, Jesus, to be the only one heard today. And may that follow as we leave here today, as we go about our business all week long. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
When we sing this song, I'd like to have the ladies sing verse number 3 and the men sing verse number 4, and we'll all just join on the other verses, okay? So ladies on verse 3 and men on verse, okay, and everybody else on all the other verses, okay? Great. Here we go.
Rejoice, ye pure in heart, rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing. With voice as full and strong as ocean's surging praise, send forth the sturdy hymns of old, the psalms of ancient days. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and
important item. What a privilege it is this morning to baptize another Johnson family member. And I'm going to invite the Johnson family to stand. In fact, if you'd like to come on up, you may, and join us up here where you can get a little closer view of watching your family take another step, important step.
It's great to have your sisters here today, too. That's exciting. Yes. What a privilege it is. Nathan, you've been on a great journey. But it's only just begun in reality. You know, God has great plans for you, plans to prosper and grow you. And your work is to, when you wake up in the morning, you open your eyes, you say, Jesus, send the Holy Spirit to fill my heart and my life so that everything I do all day today will be an honor and glory to you. You are now a disciple of Jesus. You've been voted into a new church family. Your family has grown tremendously just in one few moments. How wonderful that is. So we're here to support you. We're here to lift you up. And you have a family that is here to do the same for you. So you're very, very fortunate. So Nathan, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is now my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Ready? Just relax. Mike, what a privilege it is to stand here with you today. You are an inspiration to me. We talk about this, and I get emotional because Mike has been a prayer warrior. We've lifted each other up. We've cried on each other's shoulders. It's been an incredible journey, and it's not over yet. But my utmost admiration goes out to you for the decision you made to stand in here in the baptistry with your son, to be an example to him of what it means to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. This wasn't necessary. I know that. You know that. But you wanted to make a public statement of the new life that you have chosen to go to a higher level than you've ever been before in your walk with Jesus. Amen. To be an example to your family, to your spouse, to your children, to your brothers, your sisters, and to make your mom very, very happy. And a dad would be extremely happy as well. You know that, and I know that. So, Mike, as we come to you today, we come here together, rededicating our lives to Jesus Christ. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is my privilege to now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There may be others sitting here today who are thinking, you know, it's time for me to make this important step. And if that is your desire, I would invite you to talk to either Pastor Will or myself following the service today so that we can walk along that journey with you so that you can too can take this important step in making Jesus number one, the only one in your lives. I invite you to bow your heads in prayer. Gracious Jesus, I pray for a continued blessing upon Mike, Nathan, and all of us. In their journey walking with you from this day forward, Satan is really upset that they have made this decision. But you, Jesus, are so thrilled. The choir in heaven is just resounding with songs of praise for the decision these two men have made this morning. So may that drown out all of the demons, all of Satan's efforts to attack them. And may they be protected by your grace and your power as they journey on in life. May their witness for you be just so powerful that others, through their lives, will see you and want what they have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh. All right, boys and girls, it's time for the children's story, so please come up front, but I'm going to ask you to sit on the floor here. On the floor here. Because what's going to happen is back this way, so sit down right there. So I see we don't have many. Face this way, yeah. Let's see. When I was growing up, when I thought of the word power, I thought of the Edison plant down on the beach in Oxnard. And the Edison plant provides power to the area. And I'm going to ask this young man, come up here and stand right here and face the kids down below, okay? So when I think of Edison plant, I think of power. Will you hold that for me? We need electricity, right, to put lights in our house. And look up there. There's a big light looking at you right now. And that's power. I'm going to be moving around a lot, so if you forgive me, peoples. But here's another way for us to have power. It's a battery, and the battery companies make you think that they can always be ready, ever-ready batteries. Go, 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 right? But I have something else where there's power. You may not believe this or not, but it's true. This has power. So I'm going to ask someone else. And don't raise your hand. I'm just going to tap you on the shoulder. Come on out here, Chloe. You're going to stand up here and hold this power. There's power in a dollar. Maybe not as much now as it used to be, but there's power in that dollar. But when we think of where we are today, boys and girls, where are we today? At church. Well, when I bring my powerful $1 bill to church, this is what happens. Come on up here. This is like a little church bank. So I'll bring my $1 of power to the church. But you often wonder, boys and girls, you see that offering plate go by and that dollar or that coin or that check or that tithe envelope drop in, what happens? I'm going to tell you. Come on up here. Now, this is something you're not probably used to seeing. Stand right there. This is the bank. They don't make banks like this, but pretend this is Wells Fargo or Bank of America. Where do we bank? Wells Fargo. This is Wells Fargo Bank. So my powerful dollar goes to church and goes to the bank. Does it just sit there, like buried in the ground? No. It goes beyond that. What happens to it then? Samuel, come on up here. That can go in your pocket. So that dollar is what we use to send out missionaries. Do you know that missionaries don't only go to other countries? Do you know that there's a missionary project that our church is doing, that Pastor Will is taking? And it's going to be Bibles, it's going to be Sabbath school lessons, and it's going to be people, because people are a sermon in shoes. So that dollar is going all the way to here. But it doesn't stop there. And what my friend Mike and Ann do is every, come on up here, every Tuesday, and more often than that, they distribute food. And sometimes your moms and dads, they bring food and clothes to church, but it's also the dollar, the powerful dollar that we put in the offering plate that buys us extras. But it doesn't stop there. This is one of my favorite school textbooks. Would you like to hold this? Come on up here. This is science. This is Einstein. Yeah. So our dollar, come right up here. Our dollar also helps our Christian schools so we can have teachers who love Jesus. You can hold it this way. That teaches about how everything in the world comes from God. Every good and perfect thing. That powerful dollar. But it doesn't stop there. Pastor Will, I need you up here. You're the big kid. But Pastor Will and Pastor Dennis and Mr. Swanson, they all fill a purpose too, because they, your picture isn't in this, but this is our powerful dollar helps Pastor Will do his work here at the church, and Pastor Dennis, and buys music for our choir. Oh, it's a powerful dollar, but we're not done yet. Carl, you're up next. Come on over here. But our church wouldn't be standing around us if we didn't have our deacons and deaconesses, and even you boys and girls, when we have a church work bee, to come and do the hard work to keep our church safe. Now, when you look at it, can you believe it? This dollar has power. But even before the dollar, it's a heart that God gives us, a heart of love. And without the love of God, we wouldn't even think about going each step of the way. $1. If you brought a dollar every week to church, how many people do we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That's 13 kid dollars. What if that was 13 adult $10? Wow. It would be. But more important than that, we don't keep it in the bank. We use it to show God's love to everyone around us, and we couldn't do that if He didn't share His love with us. There's power in the love of God, and we can be His sermon in shoes. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we are so thankful that every morning when we ask You to live in us this day, that You give us the power, the Holy Spirit to guide and direct, Your love to be a sermon in shoes. Help us every day to experience and to show the love of God, which is a power without any limits. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, boys and girls. Thank you.
Good morning. After Bonnie's children's story, I don't think we have to have an offering call. In the bulletin, it talks about disaster relief and famine offering. And when you talk about ADRA, we typically think of ADRA as doing disaster relief. We've had offerings for them recently because of the disaster in Japan. Another branch of disaster relief in the U.S. is Adventist Community Services, which has been asked to handle at minimum a six-month contract of handling warehousing down in Alabama with the tornadoes and the flooding that have gone on in the South. So as you mark your envelopes today, if you want to give for disaster and famine relief, make sure and mark that on the envelope. As I saw what Dennis was talking about today, though, a little different note was that he's talking about giving, stewardship, and just a sort of a personal story. 40 plus years ago, as Bev and I started our family and our home, I had grown up in a family where tithing was taught, but sometimes it was, if there's not enough, we go ahead and use the money for whatever's needed. And some of that carries along with you even into your start of your adult life. Bev came from a family of a minister, and her family, she learned that we tithe to start with. And so as we started our home, it didn't matter what was happening when we got our paycheck, when we got paid, tithe was the first thing that we did. To start with, it wasn't a lot, and there were times that it made things very tight. But as we've gone through the years, we've continued to maintain that practice. And it has been amazing to watch how the Lord blesses. There are times when you say, we can't do this. We do it, the Lord blesses. And when, you know, one of the texts that all of us know very well is Malachi 3:10. And partway through there, he says, try me now in this. Trust me. Give what is mine. Give it back to me. And in the end of the verse, he says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. So as you think through what you want to do, I would encourage you, if you're not doing systematic giving, that you test the Lord, try him. Even in these difficult times, it's something that he has never broken his word. Deacons, let's stand. Father, we thank you for the many wonderful blessings. We thank you for all that you provide for us, and that in your provision for us that we can trust you by giving back what is yours rightfully, and that sometimes we have to do it as a way of saying, bless me, test me. But in all the times that we've seen it happen, you've never let us down. We'd ask that as this offering is taken today, that it will be blessed and multiplied to further your work, not only here in Camarillo, but around the world. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning is actually a responsive reading that you can follow along with me up front. If you want to look in the hymnal, it's number 820. I'm going to start off with the light print, and you can follow along with me in the dark print. The title is Tithes and Offerings. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you, that there will be not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. I will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. At this time, if you're able, please kneel with me as we seek the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we are so grateful to come before you this morning on the Sabbath day. We're so grateful that you are a loving God, that the all-powerful God of the universe is a God that is approachable. We seek you today. We praise you most of all for your love for us, for your provision for us, for taking care of our needs. We praise you that you allow us to take part in your ministry, both in giving of our money, but also of our time and our effort. And we just thank you that you don't leave it only to the angels, but you let us take part in that. I pray this morning that most of all, in all that we do, that your name may be glorified, that you may be honored. And as we worship you this morning, we also seek you as we think of our brothers and sisters that are sick and that are not well. And we bring them before you and we put them in your trust and in your care, knowing that you are a God who cares and will take care of each person. We love you. We thank you for this Sabbath day. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Brett and Nicole. Have you been blessed this morning? How many can tell me what's happening tomorrow in the Southern Union Conference? Excuse me, it is in the Union Conference, but it's the Southern California Conference. We have a group of delegates that are going tomorrow to represent your church, and I'm going to invite them to come on up and join me right now. Will all of you come up? You've got a list. If you open up your bulletin, you'll see the list. There's been one change. Betty Hohen has been replaced by Rochelle. So we need to all come up and join us. Not all of our delegates are here today. There's a couple or three missing, but they will be there with us tomorrow. You know, this is a time when the Southern California Conference comes together and conducts the business of the conference. The officers are elected at these functions, and other business is conducted. And my prayer has been, as we go in preparation for tomorrow, that the Holy Spirit will be in full and complete control, that there will be a spirit of unity because the Holy Spirit is in control. And as you will listen to my sermon today, I'm going to share something with you that's very important. That elected officials in the conference are there, but they are elected by you, the constituents of this conference. We all are part of the decision-making process. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that, but we are. And ultimately, God is in control. And we want to give him full and complete access to us tomorrow. And so I ask my brothers and sisters who will be representing all of you to join me in prayer. We've been praying for this. We invite you tomorrow, starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, to begin praying. Well, no, don't start then. Start now and never stop praying. So it's an ongoing prayer for the Lord's will to prevail and be done tomorrow. Are you with me? All right. Delegates, thank you for being willing to give up one of your days to represent God's people. I pray for a very special anointing upon each and every one of you. You know, sometimes we don't always agree, and that's okay. But when we go as a body, we come representing the people. That's what we're there for. And sometimes we vote with the people instead of the way we might vote. That's important to remember as well. So the most important thing that I want all of us to remember that I've already articulated, but I can't stress it enough, is that everything we do tomorrow is under the leadership of Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to gather around. And I'm going to ask the congregation, just reach out and touch your delegates. You can actually take your arm, put it on the shoulder of the person in front of you, and just let that extend right on up to the front of the church as we pray together. Gracious, loving Jesus, we come to you this morning, mindful of the fact that we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. You are our Lord and Savior. You have plans for this church. You have plans for our conference and all of the other churches in our conference. I'm praying specifically for that work, knowing that you have a world work, and we're part of that world ministry. It's necessary that we all be brothers and sisters in Christ, that we be under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit, that we don't go tomorrow. We don't leave here today only half full. We go with a reserve of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, so that everything that is said and done will give glory and honor to you. Remove us from the picture, and you, Jesus, take control of our lives. That must be the situation and the case all day, every day, but especially tomorrow. Be with the business as it's conducted. May it be a blessing. May it be a time of celebration. May it be a time of sincere repentance and a time of refreshing so that we can finish the work and go home. My prayer is that this will be the last Southern California Conference constituency meeting. Before the next one, we will be in heaven. That is my prayer. I pray that it's our prayer and that you prepare us for your soon return. Guide and lead us is our prayer, and we thank you for hearing and answering in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you all. I have something I have to share with you. Did you find this little handout in your bulletin today? What are you doing with it? Are you going to leave it in your bulletin? Or are you going to give it to someone? The information on it, you already know. What are you going to do with it? Now, I've been praying that prayer. And you would expect me to share something with you about McDonald's, wouldn't you? So I will. Here's how God works. I've been carrying them with me in my Bible, and I don't just scatter them among the guys at McDonald's. I don't think that's cool. I could do that. Could just sit it down, leave it, and walk off. But I choose not to do that. I choose instead to pray for the Holy Spirit to work on somebody's heart and a door open and I can walk through, and then I have a great reason to hand them a brochure and an invitation. Thursday morning, I'm sitting talking with three of these gentlemen. And one of them reminds me about a conversation he and I had. In fact, it's an ongoing conversation that he and I have had. And I took the opportunity to follow it up with, as I slid the three of these out of my Bible, and I gave them each one. And he was dealing with an issue in his own church, and I could see the look in his eyes of, in his face of, I don't know what to do with this. That was the look. You ever seen one of those looks? And so he and I were having this conversation. The other two didn't have a clue what we were talking about initially. And I said to him, after handing this out to him, Stan, give me that back. I have something, I want to write a text on it for you. So I handed it back, and I opened my Bible to 2 Timothy 3. I invite you to go home and look these texts up. So I wrote 2 Timothy 3. Read the whole chapter. Then I added 2 Timothy 4, the first section of that chapter, and handed it back to him. And he saw my Bible open, and he said, can I read it? So I handed him the Bible. And I said, read the chapter 4 information. In one of those verses that talks about Paul to Timothy, he said, in the last days, people will have itching ears and be listening to those who teach myths. So as he's reading it, he went, oh. So pray for my friends at McDonald's. The Lord is touching their heart. Yesterday, I had the sitting out there, and another gentleman walked by. He says, oh, by the way, Pastor Dennis, I saw your advertisement in the Acorn, the Adventist Church. I'm going, cool. Well, here, take this. He didn't take it, but that's okay. He saw the ad in the Acorn. You wonder if anybody's checking out the ads in the Acorn. So let me tell you what's happening this coming Friday in the Acorn. There will be this brochure in bright color. in the Acorn with an invitation to this community to come to our church on the dates given, May 25 through 28, in our church. So I'm sharing this with you because all of us need to be praying that the ones that we pass out will be accepted, and people's curiosity through the prompting of the Holy Spirit will say, I need to be at the Camarillo Seventh-day Adventist Church Wednesday night, May 25, to catch this four-night series. So this is your opportunity to invite a friend to come and learn about what God is doing in these last days. Are you ready for Jesus to come? What are you going to do with your money when Jesus comes? Right? You're not going to burn it. He's going to burn it. It's gone. What are you going to do? Will it do you any good? What are you going to do with your money when probation closes? There will be no need for money when probation closes. The ministry will be complete. But we have this little window of opportunity between now and the time probation closes to do what? Share the word. To teach people about the love of Jesus Christ and the importance that he's coming soon to take us home with him. So what are you doing? Are you storing up treasures on earth? I'm looking at the clock, and I'm in the work of modifying my sermon today. Is that okay? Because I want to get you out of here before 1 o'clock. Is that all right? But it's exciting. I want you to think about it. What about our resources? What are we doing with our resources in preparation for Jesus' soon return? I want you to look at the series that we've been talking about. I want to go back and recap very quickly the journey that we've been on, and I haven't been in the pulpit for a while, so I'm now catching up with the fourth in this series. But if you remember, the first one was the power to honor. And this comes under the subtitle, It Really Is Worship, talking about these various aspects of worship, our time together. But more than that, all week long, what are you doing about worshiping God and giving glory and honor to him? Now, why do we need to do that? Why is that important? The answer to that question is because we're living in the last days. And none of us know when Jesus is coming. We understand that, but we have to be ready. So, stewardship, there are several facets of it. The first one is the power to honor. And our key text for that one was Revelation 14:7, where John is penning these words. Same, the angel, remember the first angel. Which angel up there? The first angel. The one behind me, you know, that represents this angel. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has, present tense, come. It's not in the future. When John penned those words, the hour of his judgment has come. Well, if it had come 2,000 years ago, how much closer are we? Number two, the power to surrender. Galatians 2:20 was our key text. Here Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Have you said a thank you to Jesus for that incredible gift? Number three, all of this, see, it's all about worship. Number three is the power to love. And here's the text, 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. And today, the power to give. The power to give. Jesus gives us the power to give. It's amazing what he does with and for us. You know, I was looking at Proverbs. the third chapter, verses 5 through 10. Here's what Solomon's advice is to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart? And lean not on your own understanding. In, say it with me, all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Oh, my friends, when we put God first and foremost in our lives and we recognize that everything is His, do you agree with me on that? That's a biblical principle. He owns everything. And when we give His rightful 10% back, you are blessed. So when we put Christ first, when we put God first, we receive His special blessings. And when we acknowledge that God created everything, remember what He said in Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was before you and I were created, wasn't it? Everything is His. And He goes on in Psalms 24:1, and therefore He owns everything. Notice what this says. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Wow. The earth, say it with me again, the earth is the Lord's. Look out there. So how much is yours? Now, He gives us rightful ownership, doesn't He? But He expects us to be good stewards and take care of what He gives us. And continuing us on, when we look at giving in God's way, we discover an important principle that we need to give back to Him. Why? Because He sustains us, and we in turn manage what He has given us by doing this. And we find this in Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is whose? The Lord's. It, say it with me, is holy to the Lord. So what is holy? Tithe. What is a tithe? I think you learned about that, children, in your children's story this morning. If you have a dollar, how much tithe do you give to Jesus? $2? I love that. Jesus has the... Did I hear that right? Did I hear $2? Shall we go for three? Four? Five? I love my kids. See, they think outside the box. You did a great job. Mom and Dad, you did a great job teaching your children this morning. If you have $100, if you have $10, how much do you give? If you have $20, how much do you give? $2 if you're doing the 10% principle. I like that. Thank you for the sermon illustration. Oh, the faith of a child. What about us adults? Are we giving faithfully to God? You know, I'm looking in the mirror and talking to myself here. Practice what you preach, preacher. Practice what you preach. And what about offerings? And then bringing offerings proportionate to our income so that we can receive His blessings for the offerings. I want to pause here and ask you about a couple stories in the Bible. Go back with me to Exodus 36. This isn't up there, so you're going to have to look it up in your Bibles. But in Exodus 36, what has happened is there had been a call to the people. Remember, the children of Israel in the wilderness, and they didn't have a place to worship God. And so God had given Moses the blueprint for the wilderness tabernacle. And once he got that blueprint, Moses sent out a call. He had the artisans come together and to get ready to start building it, but they needed the supplies. And so the appeal went out to the people to bring the supplies that were needed: fabric, furs, gold, silver, all of the stuff that they needed, brass, to build the sanctuary and all of the furnishings that would be needed for it. This is a fascinating story. You need to go home this afternoon and read this. Remember how this works. Exodus 35 and 36. And they just kept bringing it and bringing it and bringing it and bringing it. And finally, in chapter 36, Moses had to say, "Stop! Enough already!" Think of it. Think of it. Steve, wouldn't that be a great problem to have? Steve is our treasure. Stop! Enough already! Oh, my friends, the blessings were so, the people were just caught up in the spirit of giving. You see, they discovered the principle that we have already talked about and need to be remembered, and that is we can't take it with us to heaven. Can we? So let's give it now so that first and foremost, you receive the full blessing Jesus has promised to give you. Secondly, so that we can finish the work. Because when probation closes and you can't buy or sell, it's not going to do you any good, is it? You know, the Bible talks about, and the spirit of prophecy also talks about this, about people at that time wishing they had given. But they can't anymore. To further the work, at least. So time is limited. Let's take advantage of the time, shall we? God has a plan for you and for me. But a couple stories. Another one that caught my attention, and this one we do have on the screen, Mark 12, 41 through 44. This is exciting because I can relate to this, and I think you can too. It's called the widow's offering. So now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. You know, money and how we handle money is an attitude thing. Did you know that? It really is. And where your attitude is determines what and how you use your money. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrin. That's a Roman coin. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their wealth or abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." She made the ultimate sacrifice. Now, I can guarantee you that that widow that morning had no clue that her story would be told for centuries. What I love about Jesus is he pays attention to the little details. He understands the importance of being faithful. And he used the illustration of that widow, that poor widow, who I'm sure was trying to be non-visible as she walked up and dropped her two mites into that box. But Jesus heard her. Jesus saw her. Jesus knew what was going through her mind. He also knew that she had just given her last, using the American culture word, dime. So what about us? What about you and me in our giving? You know, I want something clearly understood, is that you, the Camarillo Church, are a very giving church. You are very faithful in your tithes and offerings. But I can only imagine what could happen if we were all giving. And I don't know what you give. I don't know how much you give. Just, you need to understand that. I do not know. I don't want to know. But if the statistics ring true, typically speaking, only about 30 to 40%, and that may be a generous percentage, of a congregation gives a full tithe. So imagine what would happen if we gave, all of us gave a full tithe. Can you imagine the possibilities? It would be like the people in the wilderness bring the things to God, to where he says, I don't have any more room. Stop. Moses is saying, stop. We have no more need. When you think about what's happening in the world today, when you think about people that are hungry, you think about people who are without homes, when you think about people who are suffering because of floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, all the other calamities, who need help. Have you thought to think about, you know, the thought that goes through my mind when you hear about the Mississippi flooding hundreds of thousands of farmland? What's going to happen to corn prices, soybean prices, commodity prices? My friends, at the shoe store yesterday, I was talking with Walt. He said, he knows I'm a pastor. And he says, you know, people seem to be angry when they come into the store. I said, they do? Yeah. So he and I were talking about what's going on in the world. And I said, well, Walt, you know, we're going through the birth pangs. Jesus is coming soon. And he picked up on that. Yeah, birth pangs. Maybe that's why they're angry, because they don't understand what's going on. See how easy it is to witness for Jesus? Pray for it. You have to pray for it. You have to pray for it. And the same is true with our giving. I want to close, before I go to the handout, with just some thoughts for you to think about. What makes our tithes and offerings worship? Do you know? Here's my thoughts on that. Truly, all that we have and are belongs to God. Tithe is worship when we recognize our relationship with God and honor Him by being faithful to Him. Offerings are worship when, in partnership with Him, we invest God's money in His kingdom. Then they become an extension of our partnership with God. And without this partnership, we cannot worship Him with offerings. Offerings would then be simply a payoff. It would be a bribe. Offerings reflect our hearts and our experience with God and are the result of the Holy Spirit's guidance in our intimate partnership with God. How important are tithes and offerings. Very important. You have a green insert. I'm not going to take the time to read this. You are all intelligent people. Your children can read this. And I would encourage you that you go through this with them. This is not mine. This is from Faith and Finance. This is a curriculum that is developed by the General, or actually the North American Division of Seventh-day Adventists. And at the end of the green sheet, you see the credits there. But I just want to point out a couple things. If you look at the page, Motivation and Giving, that's the front page, and you see the dark print, the best giving follows vision and duty. The best giving follows mission, not structure. I'm just highlighting these. The best giving follows people, not programs. The best giving follows passion, not pressure. That's a really important one. Christianity, out of that section, Christianity is a heart relationship, and our giving is based upon our heart relationship. And Christianity is about a passionate involvement with the Lord of the universe, that relationship with Jesus that is so important. So true giving is driven by that desire to be in full and complete relationship with Jesus. In Exodus 35:5 is the one about bringing offerings for the building of the tabernacle. Remember, I shared with you 36:5, where Moses had to say, stop bringing stuff. And then you have 2 Corinthians 9:7. Remember what that one says? God loves a grumpy giver. Is that what he said? No, you said it right. God loves a cheerful giver. So continuing on, the best giving follows growth and progress, not maintenance. The best giving follows information, not promotion. And on this one, I want you to understand something. That information must be complete, transparent, and understandable. So when we present requests to you, you need complete information so it's clear, intelligent, and understandable. And all the facts are there. The best giving follows conviction, not manipulation. So true. So let's remember that God is the owner partner in our relationship, correct? And so we must remember that everything belongs to God. In that next paragraph, tithe in the middle of it, tithe is one of the primary tools God uses to establish himself as Lord in our lives. When it comes to tax time, and I don't equate tithe with taxes, but do you tell the government how much you're going to pay? No, you don't, do you? Yeah, but God works on an honor system. He asks for a faithful 10%, but he doesn't lord over you. You still make the decision. But I like the $2. I want to point something out. Going down to, let me count the paragraph, starting at the top, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The paragraph that says, understanding tithe in this way leads to. Go down to the middle of that. Part of our worship with tithe is turning it over to him to manage, to God. Notice this sentence. What happens to the tithe is not our responsibility. Our only responsibility is to worship God. However, when as a part of church leadership, we manage tithe funds for God's church, so there is accountability. But remember, if you want the blessing, your responsibility is to be faithful to God in paying your 10%. However that money is used, once it reaches your church treasurer, is dependent upon that next level. Their accountability takes over. And if they mismanage that money, your money that you gave faithfully and in following God's advice, then they have to answer for that. You get the blessing. Your job, our job, is to make sure that it's handled properly as best we can. But our most important job is to give faithfully. The real issue is always worship. Are you with me? Worship God. You have a choice when it comes to worship. You have two choices. To worship the true God or to worship the false. What choice are you making? Let's stand as we sing the first and last verses of our closing song, Take My Life and Let It Be, number 330. Gracious Jesus, we come to you this morning, now this afternoon, thanking you for loving each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you for a church family that is so giving, so loving, so gracious, who when the appeal goes out to give, that the storehouse fills up, just as the example is given of the children of Israel. This church is a model church, and I praise you and thank you for the blessings that you are pouring out into the members of this church, into our family groups. Lord, continue to bless them. May we reconsider and rethink and just make sure that we are in step with you all day, every day, Jesus, because we want to be a part of your glorious kingdom. What you have awaiting us in heaven far exceeds anything money can buy on this earth. But we have a work to finish. We have the gospel commission to fulfill. Equip us with the funds, the materials. Equip us with the personal relationships so that we share you all day, every day. So bless our church families. Bless their finances. Bless their workplaces, those that are out of work. We pray, Jesus, for you to open the doors for them. But help us all to be united with you. One family, one God, together, planning for eternity, is our prayer in Jesus' name.